I remember playing football as I was preparing this. This came back to me. I remember playing football when I was a young lad. Football was a big thing in our house. My dad was a football fanatic, a real Pompey fan. And my three other brothers also were fanatical about football. Still are, actually. And I remember playing in the school team. And towards the end of one of the seasons, when I was about 10, walking up to the pitch and finding my father and the coach speaking to one another on the pitch. And I walked up to them, and the coach said to me, he said, "You've had a great season." He said, "You, my boy, are going to be captain next term." And I found myself saying without hesitation, "No, I'm not, because I'm not playing football next year." Now, my father, was, to be fair, was slightly crestfallen about that moment, but actually he didn't stop me. Because even as a 10-year-old boy, what I discovered was that I didn't actually enjoy football that much. I was quite good at it. I was okay. But I didn't enjoy it that much. What I'd been doing was playing football because I wanted the love of my father. And what I discovered by the age of 10 was that I had the love of my father whether I played football or not. That he loved me for who I was, not what I did. And so that story came to mind as I prepared to look at gifts and skills and what we're good at and how we might use those for God. It came flooding back to me as I sat down at my desk. And I can only assume it was God's Spirit giving me that nudge. Just to remind us, before I continue too much further, that actually, yes, we all have gifts and skills. And we all should desire to use them for God's glory as we walk towards Jesus together as a church. But actually, he loves you already. He loves you for who you are, not what you do. And maybe there's someone here who doesn't always remember that. I don't know. Maybe that's why God nudged me about that. I don't know. But as we proceed into this, just remember, he loves you already. Because there's plenty of gifts in this church, actually, aren't there? There's lots of gifts around. I see gifts of music. We have plenty of that in abundance in this church. I see gifts of teaching, gifts of leadership. We see that around the church. Yesterday there was that in abundance. One of the things I see as a high gift in this church is the gift of care, of looking after people, one another, and those out there. There are gifts of people who can speak about Jesus with ease and with comfort. And there are gifts of understanding what God might have planned for us as a church. We heard that mentioned as prophesying, but actually being able to pray and listen for God and hear what he has to say about the church. And there are gifts of administration and organization. Praise be for those gifts, eh? I mean, I'm absolutely. And actually, the truth is, the list of gifts goes on and on and on and on as I look around the church. I see that in abundance here. But I know, I'm well aware, that even as I say there are an abundance of gifts, once again, you guys, or some of you people, are sitting in your pews, looking at me and going, "Well, yeah, but not me, Max." And I want to say, actually, at this point, that is not an attitude I find in this collection of books we call the Bible. The "not me, Max" isn't in here. In fact, the truth is God speaks quite the opposite, doesn't he? As we heard Peter read so clearly for us, "For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not have all the same function. Just as we have different parts of our body and hands don't have the same function as feet and eyes don't have the same function as arms. Just as with that, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body and each member belongs to the others." We as a church are a body who have different gifts. You have a gift that's different to that person. You have a gift that's different to that person. You have a gift that's different perhaps to your wife or husband or different to your neighbour, but you do have a gift. And for me, that rings just logically true, doesn't it? And actually, as we read this book, we see it in abundance. I mean, who in their right mind would go up to a murderer and someone with a speech impediment and say, I want you to lead my people. But God did. God went up to Moses, who was a murderer and who had a speech impediment, and said, lead my people out of Egypt. Who in their right mind would go up to someone who's a leader in a different faith and has murdered Christians and say, actually, I want you to lead my people. And yet you know who I'm on about. Paul, who wrote most, if not loads of our New Testament, was that man. And if God can use these people, surely he can use us. Surely he's given you a gift. This whole idea of I'm not good enough, I'm here to tell you, is not biblical. And just to ram it home, because I know that idea is embedded in you, just to chuck it out once and for all, we're going to read again. Similar passage, but from 1 Corinthians. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all apostles, second prophets, third teachers, their miracle, then gifts of healing, of help and of guidance. It goes on, doesn't it? And if you read your New Testament and read your Old Testament, it's constant in here. God uses people. God would rather use you than actually create a miracle. He would rather use the gifts he's given you already than to intervene. So that's true, and you actually trust me that that is true, and I'm not just making it up as I go along. If you actually read this book, if that's true, then we only have to ask two questions. What are the gifts and skills that you have? And how are you going to use them for the glory of God and to love his people? Two simple questions. Of course, the first question, what gifts and skills do you have? Some of us had answered and when we went to the giftings day a few months back. And actually, she said, Rowena, who led that training course, said something very helpful as we looked at what gifts we had. Because up to now, you see, this morning, I've been talking about skills and gifts as though they're the same thing. But Rowena said something I thought was very helpful. She said, they're actually slightly different. And skills are one of those things where the world wants to know what skills you've got. So the world wanted to know I was a project manager who could deliver a project because it's good for business. That's what I used to do. The world wants to know what skills you have to see how they can benefit from your skills. That's the way the world works. Actually, I was quite good at football, but it didn't bring me joy. It didn't bring me energy. It was a good skill to have. And if I'm honest, sometimes we have to sit in that place where we do for God what we are skillful at. Sometimes there's a gap and we just have to stand in that place for a while and do that. There are many things that I'm doing right now I'm not gifted in. As your leader in this place, there are many things I'm doing right now that I'm not gifted in, but there's no one else to do them right now, so I do them. And I see that other people are doing the same. In time, as we grow, and we will grow because God will bless this place, people with the proper giftings will come and pick those up. Sometimes you just have to stand in the gap. But actually, if that is how you spend your entire life, you will never be fulfilled. You will never have that life to the full that Jesus offers, because you will never feel the joy of the Spirit moving within you. Rowena suggested actually that gifts are different to skills. She said it's something that God has enabled you to do. And that when you walk away from that, you know it's a gift because you're energized. The Spirit has moved within you. I can only talk about me because I only know about me. So those are where my examples come from. So my apologies. But I spent many years saying I'm not an evangelist. And I don't find talking to people about Jesus particularly comfortable. Still don't really, believe it or not. But what I've discovered over the years was that when I sit down and talk to someone about how incredible Jesus is and how much Jesus loves them, they pick up some of that. God's Spirit moves. And what I find is as I walk away, I'm energized. It's a gifting I've had to recognize God has given me. It's one that petrifies me and I don't want, but God's given it to me, and so I need to use it for his glory. And I'm sure you have similar gifts. So I wonder, what is it that energizes you? What is it, what gift are you given where you think, actually, I love it when that happens? You know, even administration, one of mine, I love a nice, you know, organised scenario. It's one of the gifts that God's given me. But I wonder what gifts he's given you. Just take 30 seconds each. I know you hate this, but just turn to your neighbour for 30 seconds and tell them what you think God has helped you enjoy. What are you good at that you enjoy doing? 30 seconds each. Go on, off you go. Do you know, one of the things I pulled away from that gifting study that we had, one of the, I think, profound things that I keep remembering that Rowena said, she said, and I've already mentioned it, the world is interested in what you're skillful at. God wants you to know what he's gifted you with. That is where, when you sit in those places, that's when you'll be living life to the full. So I guess that second question is, how can you use those gifts for God's glory? And I'm not just talking about in church, because out there is where I really would rather you use your gifts in the world. How can you use them? I'm not really going to answer that question, but I'll give you some input into that. As a church, we, over the next few months, are going to be looking at what God's vision is for this place. I've been doing a bit of it over the last 6 months, but we're going to really get into that now and look at what God's vision is as we build God's vision in this place up to April. And I can tell you what it is right now. It's to love God and love people. Every church, that's what he called us to do. It's what it says in here. But what are the nuances of how we are called to do that? That's what we're going to be doing as a church as we move forward. More about that next week. But I want you to understand, as you discover your gifts, there is a place for you in that. This church will move forward in proportion to the amount that we use God's gifts in it. As we pray, as we seek to reach out, as people do administration, as people speak of Jesus, as people lead, as people preach, as people sing, as you invite friends, there is a place for you in that. And I know, in all churches, so this is not just this church, in all churches that doesn't always feel true, does it? Sometimes it feels like there's a little clique that, you know, well, they're allowed to use their gifts, but my gifts couldn't possibly fit. And I'm here to tell you today, that is not going to be the case. If you have a gift, if you are serious about following Jesus, and you are serious about discovering what gifts you have, there is a place for you in the vision of God in this church moving forward. You see, I know that's of the Spirit, because I have to pause, because otherwise I'm going to be in tears, and you've not seen me in tears yet. Oh, I hate it when he does that to me. But if you are serious about that, there is a place for you in this church. You need to, but I'm not going to chase you, because I don't want to put pressure on you. You're going to need to come and speak to me. And people from that gifting study have said, some people have come to me and said, Max, I think I've discovered this is my gifting on the gifting study. How can we use that? And other people have come to me and said, Max, I've discovered how important gifts are, but I have no clue really still what my gifts are. Could you help me with that? And if you're one of those people, I'm not ignoring you. You're on my list of people to get to, but my job is to help you. And so I will be here to do that. So if you come to me and say, I have no clue what my gifts are, I will help you discover them. That is my job. That's exactly what I'm here for. Or if you come to me and say, actually, I think I know what my gifts are. How do you think God wants me to use them? I will help you. That is my job. That's what I'm here for. So as I come into land, because I think you're in one of three places right now. You might know what your giftings are. I'm perfectly happy about that. We were just chatting, sorry, Carol, about this, but I just said to Carol, You're using your giftings, and you might be like that. You might be in the right place. And I can say, brilliant. Ignore everything I've said for the last 10, 15 minutes. Crack on. You're in the right place. Or you might say, I don't know what my gifts are. And as I've already said, if you're up for it, I'm willing to help. Come to me. We will discover that. Whether you've been coming to this church for 40 days or 40 years, we can discover that. But I also fear that some of you might be in that place I spoke about. You may know what your gifting is, or you may not, but you are fearful to use it. And my plea is, don't live a life of quiet desperation. Don't be in that third category where you don't step up and say, pick me, Jesus. Pray about it, but come and see me. I'm not about to throw jobs all over you. That's not what I'm here for. I want to encourage you in your walk with Jesus. We will discover what your gifting is, and we will discover how you best use it. And if that's in the church, fine. But if that is reaching out to your neighbours, caring for them, brilliant. Don't live a life of quiet desperation, because Jesus promised you life to the full. He came to give you life to the full. He died on the cross that you would have life to the full. And life to the full means living, doing what you were made to do. That is what I desire for you. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you that you gifted us. That there isn't one of us here that doesn't have a gift that you have given us. Give us the courage to discover what that is, to discover how you would have us use it, and to lead us forward. Amen.